Okay, we are in the Gemara on Das Tamachem Beis, six lines in the bottom. Tamachay Amid Beis. Dr. Gemara, Metautli mi mishtabdi l'ksuba. Rabbi Akiva said to this man who made a netter against his wife, and they were forcing to divorce him. Rabbi Akiva informed him about his bill called the ksuba, and the man said, I can't afford that much. It's all my money. So Rabbi Akiva told him, I can't help you. Even if you have to sell the hair of your head, you're going to have to pay the ksuba. So that means hair of the head is metautli. At least when it's Aymidli Gazes, we're going to see in the rush, Aymidli Gazes, seems that when it's not ready to be shorn off, not Metautlim, we don't consider a person Metautlim. His hair is him. We don't say he has to cut his arm off and sell it. It's only when it's ready to be cut off, we view it as a separate entity than the man. The rush is going to say there's not Yitzchak Margaretin. And therefore, it's considered Metautlim. So the question is, do we make Metautlim Yibishtabdi L'Ksuba? It's an interesting halacha in Ksuba, Medina de Gemara. It changed. The Ga'inim changed it. Once upon a time, it was an agricultural society. So when Chazal instituted Shibud for Ksuba, they said it's only on land, not from the buyers and the Yarshim, from the guy himself also. The husband only has to pay the Ksuba. That's how we paskin. It's machlaikas. But Meir holds Metautlim Yibishtabdi L'Ksuba. Rabbanan paskin. That's the halacha. And therefore, the Gemara asks, he does not have to give his hair to pay the ksuba. If he has chairs and tables and cars and trucks, he doesn't have to sell those for the ksuba. He only has to give land. That's the halacha by ksuba. Now, the Ga'inim changed it, because as the agriculture society transferred to a different kind of society, they felt that we have to make metautlim meshubah to the ksuba. So Medina now, everything is meshubah to the ksuba. But Medina de Gemara, only land had to be used to pay ksuba. Therefore, how could Rabbi Akiva tell him you have to sell your hair? Hair is metautli. You don't have to sell your chairs, and you don't have to sell your hair. Metautli mi mishtabdi l'ksuba? Amar Abaya, karkisha v'ches meizdin. No, the Mishnah didn't mean Rabbi Akiva told him you have to sell your hair. And he meant to say, when the person said, the truth is, the kash is even more. It said he has to use money. He has 800 dinar. Does not have to use money to pay the ksuba. Only land. So the Rabbi answers, he had land worth 800 dinar. So I think about 20 times. Right, Shai. That's the second kasha. First kasha was some cash. And the answer was, it wasn't cash, it was land. The problem is, it says hair. The Sa'ar Reich Shem Atal Kliu. Dr. Gemara Hanki come out. Fill out the Meicher Sa'ar Reich Shem Atal Kliu. Even if you're going to have to sell your hair to eat. Meaning, we're going to take all your land. You're going to say, what am I supposed to do? How am I going to earn a living? Sell your hair. That's what we're going to tell you. Meaning, that's what the Gemara means to say. Rabbi Akiva didn't mean sell your hair to pay the ksuba. Rabbi Akiva meant give the land to pay the ksuba. And, you're going to be left with zero. And again, in an agricultural society without land, it's tough going. Sell your hair. Zuck the rush. The rush is Gemara Shmami. Now three lines. By me, it's three lines in the bottom. Shmami number Tavla Mishtabdi L'Ksuba. Plinki by Ramei Rabbanan Beperik Yishish Shnaflu. The eighth Beperik Ksubas. Rabbanan Ami Ksuba Giriya Mi Balchayv. It's worse than a Balchayv. Lafilu Minei Loi Gavi Metautli. Even the guy himself, you don't collect Metautli. Unlike a Balchayv. Balchayv, we talk about what you can collect from Shabbatim. Sold. Yarshim, here we're talking about the guy himself. Like Balchayv, you can take anything he had. I mean, almost everything he had, as we will see. But here by Ksuba, you can't touch Metautlim. That's what Rabbanan holds. Well, he's trying to give him $1,000 dinrin. It says she would get from the 400 dinrin. Sa'ar Reish Metautlihu, Zakhtar Rash, the Aymedli Gazes. Rush is bothered. People's part of their bodies don't have to be sold. Hair is part of your body, not a separate entity. Dr. Rush, when it's ready to be taken off, at that point, when you're ready for a haircut, it is a metautlim. Masnis and stomach done. I feel by mitligazes. He meant by mitligazes. He just said sa'reichcha. He didn't explain what he meant, but it means by mitligazes. I feel I have to make her sa'reichcha l'mzei nesecha for you to eat. Yes. It's less harsh. I don't know what you mean by harsh. Harsh is a very interesting word because there are two parties. one gains, one loses. So what's ours? Easier for whom? Like, there's two parties.
For the person that owes the money.
Yes.
No.
That's how Chazal set it up.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was asking. Like, why would Chazal do it that way?
So the Gemara explains in Subas that the reason they did it that way is because in a woman's mind, when she gets married and she's thinking about the fact that one day she might have to collect from Subas, the only thing she counts on is land. Because everything else might disappear before she gets the Galactic Tzuba. So in her mind, when she gets married and she's looking to the Tzuba as a source of her parnasa, when and if this marriage ends with her being standing on her 2 feet, right? Because sometimes the marriage ends with her not being on her 2 feet. But if the marriage ends with her on her 2 feet, she looks to see where security is. And therefore, in her mind, that's all she looks for. And therefore, Chazal did not say that you have to pay from a Tzavla. Whether Baal Chayv, who's lending cash, would love to get cash back. That's what he would really like. In fact, the halacha says, if you have cash, you must pay your debts in cash. You cannot give him, you borrowed $100, you cannot give him 2 chairs from Shomer Shabbos when they're selling them for $15. I mean, they sold them for $15, I'm sorry. 7 chairs from Shomer Shabbos. You can't do that. You have to give them cash. It's only if you don't have cash that you can give land. Because you borrowed cash, you should give it back in cash. Baal Chayv is a debt. Nezikin is a different story. We're not going to get involved in that. But the halacha is that you borrow money, Taisa says, you should pay back money. So only if you don't have money, we take other things. That's like Tzuba, nobody borrowed anything. It's he obligated himself for Tzuba. And in her mind, you ask her, what are you looking to collect the Tzuba from? So answered land. Because that's my thing. Remember, you see the problem is, Rabbi Cohen, you live in 2025. And they lived not in 2025. Security came from owning land. You were the landowner. You don't have to go that far back. Yeah, Dr. Schwab is going to tell you exactly what year it changed. But but in England, in the 1800s or 1700s for sure, if you didn't own land, you couldn't vote. Only landowners could vote because you were considered a gavra if you owned land. If you didn't own land, you were a poor guy. Land was security. We don't look at it that way. There are many billionaires that probably don't own a house. And they, I don't know if it's true, but it could be. Because they don't care about land. He doesn't own a house?
He lives in an apartment on one of SpaceX.
Could be. He might live in this castle for all I know. It doesn't make a difference where he lives.
He also stays with Bruce Randall.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I understand. But you don't have to have land today to be considered a godfrey. Nobody looks at that. They look at your bank account. In those days, there were no bank accounts. It was land. That's my right. Yes.
I just wanted to say that was actually pretty accurate. 1700 and the last gasp of land-based economy was the physiocrats in France, the theorists in France in the 1800s.
Okay, I figured that one out. Okay, right. Shamat Mina, we learned from this Gemara that a Masadron Lebal Chayv. Now, let me explain what Masadron Lebal Chayv means. Let me explain the source, the halacha. Or not the halacha, the Gemara's diak. The Torah says by Erchin, a very interesting thing. There's a parsha called Erchin. Erchin is when a person promises his Torah set value. There's two values a person has. His subjective value, what he's worth as a slave on the market. And the Torah set an Erech. And Erech is the Torah set value. If a guy says he'll pay an Erech, we look in Parshas Bechukotai, and we look at his age and gender, and see what the amount of money the Torah prescribed for him to pay. That's called the Erech. At the end of the Parashat Erechin, it says, Bimahu Merkecha, if he can't afford the Erech, he said, so we take Ashatasin Yadai. Now, there's a lot of halachas in that. We're not learning Masechtas Erechin, Merch Hashem Monday. But now we're not learning Masechtas Erechin. Whatever the halacha is, we don't touch, we learn now from there, that we don't touch essentials. We don't take his house, we don't take his car, whatever he needs to make a living. The Gemara lists what's necessary for a person to have in those days, and it says, don't touch that when you figure out if you can afford it or not. That's misadrin. We organize, for lack of better translation, for the person who promised an Erech and claims he can't afford it. We go into his assets. We decide what is necessary. We decide what is extra. And the extras we sell and take. And the not extras we leave alone. And if he can't afford it, there's a way off the ramp. Whatever the Torah says by Erkin, you give a minute, whatever it is. How about Mabal Choy? The guy owes $1,000. He says, I can't afford it. Do we say, tough luck, we're selling your couch, we're selling your beds, we're selling your dining room table, we're selling your car, we're getting that $1,000. That would be a Mesadrin Mabal Choy. The other way, Mesadrin Mabal Choy, is say he needs essentials. Don't touch his essentials. We learn now Mabal Choy from Erkin. Don't touch his essentials. Essentials are left alone. And we don't collect from them for a Baal Chayv. We take the extras. What's essential, we don't touch. Now, he has 400 dinar of land. Some of that is essential. Pekudin is not yours. No, I'm sorry. Pekudin is not, you should never use a pekudin. We're talking about a loan. Guy took a loan. He was allowed to use it. What? Pekudin, you give back the item. You have no right to take the item. You're a ganav.
But you could be paid back. If the guy didn't pay you, you could take back from the
ganav.
No, of course.
That's a mashkin. I don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about mashkin? I'm not sure what you're talking about. What's the case?
Mashkin.
The guy borrowed the money. If you have mashkin collateral, you can keep it.
Yeah.
We're not talking about a collateral. We're talking about a guy borrowed $1,000, did not give collateral. He gave a head check, which is worthless. He doesn't have money in the bank. It's one of like things I never understood. You give a head check. It means nothing if he doesn't have money in the bank. I mean, all it means is it cost them $15 or $18, whatever they charge now, $36. But that's it. Okay, anyway. But that's a machloikas. Do we leave the essentials or not? Now, here he had $400 of land. And we're taking it all. That's what Rebbe Akiva told him. We're taking it all. Now, if you're misogynist about life, some of it's essential. Got to get food. And the Mishnah doesn't seem to be concerned. Zakta Gemara, Shamit Mina, we see from this sugya that a misogynist about life, that we don't leave over things to the Baal Chayv. Zakta Rash, a marichinaisai, laniach le mizainis or shleishim yayim. We don't leave him food for 30 days. That would be the misogynist. The essential would be to leave him food for a month. Ukli tashmishai, and things that he needs to use to earn a living, his tools, his non-bepek shema yisayimim, uplok tibim perikam akabu. And the ninth perik above Metziah, this is a machloikas, whether we are misadru lebachayv or not. Our Mishnah seems to be a clear raya that a misadru lebachayv. Talk to Gemara, Amar of Nachmur by Yitzchak, loimar she'e mekarish takzuba. No, we're not misadru lebachayv. We are misadru lebachayv. What Rebbe Akiva told them is, this debt will be hanging over your head for the rest of your life till you pay it. There's no way out of paying this ksuba. There's no compromises. He didn't mean to say, I'll take everything now. I'll leave the essentials. But that's all you always have, is essentials. The minute you make more than essentials, it goes to pay your wife. That's what he meant to say. So, therefore, it could be misadul about chayv. Now, by erchen, the halacha is, that once we make the deal, you don't owe a penny to erchen. By Baal Chayv, even when you learn Misadrin Le Baal Chayv, it doesn't work that way. It's not a cancer. It's not bankruptcy that you don't have to pay the loan ever again. No. It's the Chazal said that we learn now from Erechim that just like we leave the essentials, we'll leave the essentials here. But the minute you make more money, you owe the money. It doesn't cancel the debt. By Erechim, it does cancel your debt to Erechim. So I'll learn that from Sukkim, and the Rush will explain. Dr. Rush. Yes.
If you're taking away a person's ability to make a living, what are you gaining on the deal?
You're getting the woman gets her ksuba. She doesn't care. She's owed a ksuba. She wants her money. Her husband doesn't, you know. She wants her money. Or about life, I gave you $1,000. I want my $1,000 back. You know, your problems are your problems. I need my $1,000. I'm not in charge of your finances. If I were, they might not look the way they are.
You're divorcing your wife.
She's
very well-made
wife. Exactly. Yeah, you're divorcing your wife. I would think that your wife doesn't really care much about how much you get left with. Okay, so again, in Musa, there's some 5 to 6 to 6.
know what Shabbos you gave.
Again, halacha is halacha. We're learning now halacha. Now, you want to give this lady mutzer, you can call her into the room and give her a mutzer shmooze, and she probably won't listen anyway. She wants her money. She's right. By the way, she has a right to that money. Not illegal, totally within her legal rights. You're shortchanging her. I mean, he's divorcing me. To that. You borrow money from somebody. You don't want to be a life of Rosh of a life of Shalim. People that don't pay their debts, Torah doesn't say nice things about them. One of the worries that I have, I don't remember everybody I borrowed a dollar from when I was a bachur or a young man. I met a guy said, I can use a dollar. Can you lend me a dollar? I should have never said, lend me a dollar. Give me a dollar. But I did say, lend me a dollar, and I don't remember everybody. Who knows? I'll get up there. Who knows what they have a list of people that I owe. But again, there is a group in New York called the Kikapayim. I just don't know if it helps for Cleveland. The Kikapayim says that anybody doesn't remember who they borrowed from and they owe money and they don't remember how much, give a donation to the Kikapayim. And they lend out money. So that's Sarchei Rabim, which is the second. That's, if you don't remember who you owe, is Yasset Sarchei Rabim. That's the halacha. So they do Tzarkei Rabim, the beautiful thing. I just don't know if it happens to help us in Cleveland, because that's good for New Yorkers who might borrow the money from the Kikapayim or might gain from the Kikapayim. So therefore, you did Tzarkei Rabim that might reach the people that you owe money. But in the Cleveland, I don't think anybody borrows from the Kikapayim in New York. So I don't know. But there is an organization called the Kikapayim. Right before Elul or Roshana time, they advertise. We're available. If you want to take care, you're going into Yom HaDin, you want to take care of it, you have to talk to Rabbim. I mean, I'll say the truth. A few weeks ago, not a month ago, I was emptying my pockets month to month, and I found $36, a 20, a 10, a 5, and a 1. Now, that kind of combination of money together is not usually the way I do stick money in my pockets, but not that kind of denomination. So I was convinced somebody gave me $36 for tzedakah. But I don't know who and for what. I had no recollection. No recollection at all. After discussing it with a paisik, he said I should give it to Matan B'Sezer. That's your best chance that it'll be Tzarki Rabim done with it. Because what other tzedakah you give it to? I'll give it to Shem Shabbos, I'll give it to Derech HaTorah, I'll give it to the Academy, I'll give it to Zelt. I have no recollection who he gave it to me for. I don't know who, I don't know what. Total no recollection. So that's what I did. I did tzedakah rabim, hope for the best. What can I do? But that's...
I'm trying to add this together. 10, what is it?
A 20, a 10, a 5, and a 1. 36. That's why it made me think it's tzedakah. If it would have been 52, I would have said it's my own money. But it's 36. For all I know, it was my own money. I have no idea. But I can't imagine having a 20, a 10, a 5, and a 1. You know what I mean? That's like...
Well, why did you say you asked the post to yes or for him, you know?
It happened to me, I did. But sometimes I ask other people. Sure. Yes.
Thank you. A big graph here. After all your budget, you would have been smart over the cash yourself.
Again, I don't know. All I know is that I have no idea. I have no recollection. Anyway, back to the...
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I've always viewed part of this as the fact that nobody has any movable collateral. I mean, so the amount of things that someone has, which has... But that's not the reason for this. Not true. Even if he has movables,
there's people that have tools. They might have two sets of tools. The Gemara talks about taking one set away. Dr. Rush. You're to give it from all the nechassim that you have. Doesn't mean you have to do that, but it won't get you off the hook. You're never off the hook till you pay it. Yofina Balchayv, Micha, Micha, Me'echen. The word Yamuch from Yamuch of Echen. Micha refers to Yamuch, the word. V'hatam k'sevim Balchu Me'erkecha, v'dashin and Achiyehu Me'erkecha. Sheminichem l'gdei Chayav. We learn now from the Pasuk, Balchu Me'erkecha. Leave him what he needs. And over there, what does Reish end? And Reish adds, Might Mikol Malkum, Mikol Malkum, lifter mikol makom lifter b'chol chayvay b'mashish miyadim asegas atalit and kamay be'erchin, which are treated exactly like erchin. Where there, that is, you're off the hook. That nan nasin sala b'hesher ain't nice and lie. You make more money, you don't own it anymore. This is not learned out, I don't know why. But this part is not learned out of America. From America, we learn out two things. From America, we see two things. One, we leave you your essentials. And two, what we take, if it reaches a certain amount of money, off your hook. By Baal Chayv, we learn out one, we leave the essentials. But we don't, you're not off the hook. I can tell you, Svara, why should this guy lose money? By the Rabbi Nishlam, he's Michael. He said, that's good enough. Elkins to the Rabbi Nishlam. That's the mission of Eintracht.
Why say he's going to lose money? Eventually he'll get to...
That's why we say, by Elkins, you're not off the hook. You got to pay it when you make money. You have a debt.
Yeah.
That's the mission of Eintracht. Price can be on the plane and Shabbos. We use Yom Tov and Shabbos as a Pesach. So to Rush, what's the case? He made a neder to fast for 10 days and only eat at night. Some people do that. I picked 10 days. You could have said 21 days or you could have said 5 days. I don't care. Or he just said, I'm not going to eat meat for a certain time. Did you think Shabbos and Yom Tovim Shabbatayich HaZeman? Did you think of the fact that there's a Shabbos coming up in those 10 days? Or a Yom Tov coming up in those 10 days that you said you wouldn't eat meat? Or that you would fast? Kluma Yisrael Neider? Not everybody thinks of the consequences of their words. He said for 10 days he'll fast, and one of the days is Shabbos. You're not supposed to fast on Shabbos. Did you think about that? And he says, oh, I didn't think about that. Now, that's a valid Pesach, because he wouldn't be embarrassed to say, yeah, I thought about it and I didn't care. This is not called Kveid HaMakom. It's not directly Kavod HaShem. It's a prat. It's a case. It's just an individual case. A detail. So, Mishayin HaYamim, the beginning they used to say, Ayesen HaYamim Mutarim, Mishayin HaYamim Asurim, that only the part that he had a Pesach for comes off. The other part does not come off. That a neder, that part goes off, the whole box of cards falls apart. Dr. Rush. He found a reason that he wouldn't have made it. Doesn't have to fast on Shabbos, but he has to fast the rest of the days. But afterwards they said, Shadet Shutim Sasai Mutter Kulai, Abishlay Masa Pasal Kulai. Lenoda Mikara, Ella Dash is Kaim Kulai. Interesting, the Rush says a Svara here. The Gemara on Dav Gimlam and Bays wrote a Pasik. The Rush says a Svara, that when you make the Netter, it was an all or nothing kind of thing in your mind. And therefore, Nimtatoris Mitsasai Pasakul Kulai. The Gemara brought a Pasik, Kalayaitan Mipiv Yasa. That if it's not a Shulta Mitzvah, I don't know if the Rush brought it there, the Gemara brought it there, or the Ram brought it there, on Dav Gimel Amud Beis. That was the Ram that brought it there. It was the Ram that said we learned it out from Kol Yitzchak and Rav Yaza. Right? Okay.
The
Chlomit, what?
Changing gears of the real course of the mission. Rush says, Mitzvah,
it's the same idea. The Chlomit means from the group, and Mitzvah means part of the group. It's the same thing. You're right. Zog the Gemara Vayter. Zog the Mishnah Vayter. Ketzad. Amar Shein, Kainim Shein, Nenu L'Kuchan. There's five people there, and I picked the number five. And he said he won't have Noah from, giving not a Noah to any of you. Hutra Echamahem. Then he found a Pesach for one. Hutra Kula. However, Shein, Nenu L'Zeb, L'Zeb. And the Gemara in the third parak explained. That meant, he said, number two should be like number one, number three should be like number two. Hutur Arishon Hutur Kulam, because two is like one. Once one is off, two is off, and three is off, and four is off. Hutur Achron Mutur Mekulam Asuri. Samar Gairis Hutur Mtsoi, Hemenu Lamata Mutur, Hemenu Lamayla Asur. Shani Nenu Lezek Karben, Belezek Karben.
I can't get enough to you,
right? I'm not sure. I think it might mean I can't give enough to you. What does he say?
Well,
What does Artsko say?
I will not benefit from one or from this one or from this one.
Oh, that's a different. So, yeah, will I benefit from you? Okay. So, it's the Mishnah right. Shani Nenu Lezek Carbon, but Lezek Carbon. Now, the guy said, it'll be a carbon for me to have anah from A. It'll be a carbon for me to have anah from B. Carbon for me to have anah from C. He said carbon each time. So that means every one of them is a separate neder. Now the Gemara is going to point out that really depends on the Machloikas and the Sechtes Shavuos. Where there's a bunch of mandiyamrim, we're not going to go through all of them, but a guy says Shavuah Lailach, but Lailach, but Lailach. Is that one Shavuah or is that three Shavuos? Not to you, not to you, not to you, but he said Shavuah one time. Reb Shimon holds it's one Shavuah unless he repeats Shavuah Lailach, Shavuah Lailach, Shavuah Lailach. Our Mishnah did the same. Because what if he'd say, Lazer, Bilazer, 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 carbon? Is that one or many? Notice the Mishnah had him say carbon multiple times. Because this Mishnah is Reb Shimon talking. Zuck Drush. Kainim Shaninan of the Kuchem. Utter Echem Hamadech Haras of Atar Skokem. I may ask my, the Drush, sometimes you don't even need a Pesach. I'm going to show you other Vechem that we had that in the third parak. If the father is one of them, he never meant to include the father. We say, Lezev, Lezev, Elba paid out the door, Mukin, and Chasar, and Rishon, and Kainam. But I'm a Shani, Isaac, Karishon. He said the second one is like the first one. Vashlishi, Kishani, Vachain Kulam. Utter Arishon, Utter Kulam, Kikulam, Puyim, by they're all depend on him. Lezek Karbon, but Lezek Karbon, Zuck through Grash. The Gemara Mukilan Kerb Shimon. Now I'm a guy, Beshuas HaPikatan. Five people were asking him for a Pikatan. The Kumba, the Kavar, the Nishba. He denied and swore, Behaida. The Eina Chai, the Kalechit Karbon. Actually, I'm a Shua, the Kalechit, the Echad. It's one Karbon, it's one Shua, unless he repeated the word Shua. A Rabbanan Karbon, I'm a Shua, the Lech, the Lech. Have you brought it? It's considered individual. The Chai, the Kalechit, the Echad. According to the Rabbanan, according to Shimon, he would have to say, Lezek Karbon, Lezek Karbon, Lezek Karbon. Dr. Mishnah Vaiter. Kaidim Yayin Shani Tayim, we had this brought down way back in the third parak. Kaidim Yayin Shani Tayim, Shayayin Rolamayim. The guy said, I won't drink wine because wine is bad for the intestines. Amulai, Balam Yushan, Shjavulamayim. What are you talking about? Old wine is the best thing for your intestines. So it's a neder toss. Because once one part is off, it's all off. Not good for the heart. Kufri, the ones that grow in the villages, that is good for the heart. Because neder shehutim itzasai, we like to bring a story because that backs the halakha l'maisa. Dr. Rush, no rush. Dr. Gemara, Hutar Akron, Akron Mutar Bekulan Asurin. It's supposed to say Bekulu here because the Gemara is not going on that part. It's supposed to say Bekulu, I believe he probably adds it. Yeah, he says Tevet Bekulu. Exactly. Because it's not, the Gemara is not going on that part. Zog to Gemara, Man Tana, who is the Tana that you have to say, Lezek Harbon, Lezek Harbon, Lezek Harbon? Who is the Tana? I'm a Rebbe Reb Shimoni. He has to say Shua to each one. Same thing here, he has to say Harbon. Zog to Rush, Amani Reb Shimoni, to the Parishas Mamasnitsan, like I explained in the Mishnah. Zog to Gemara Baiter, Kainim Yayin Shani Tayim. And they told him, Meyushin is good. Or by Batul, they told them, Kufri is good. This Gemara is going to repeat itself twice, and it's the same Gemara. Kainim Yahin Shani Tayim, and they told them that Yushin is good. Tayim Gleidain Ra. Why did they have to say it's good? Why couldn't they just tell them the Yushin is not bad? It doesn't have to be good, as long as it's not bad. He said in his letter, he's doing it because it's bad. It's not bad. You're right, it didn't need it. It just happens to be good. So the Mishnah tells you the fact, it is good. But it wasn't necessary for our case. All we need for our case is that Meyushin is not bad. Why did they have to say that the Kufri is good? They could have just said the Kufri is not bad. You're right. Dr. Rush, it's interesting. The Rush says what the Kash is on. The Gemara says what the Kash is on. The answer is the Rush didn't have that disgirsa. Some Rishonim only had this Gemara once, and it's going on both, instead of repeating the Gemara twice, once a Yayin and once a Batzel. So my Hutzuk Leimish a Yayin Yashin L'tayv a Batzel, he's doing it for Leiv. I feel like you're like Tayv M'lai Ra'am Mutzer Behem. Because I know that Meir came wrong. He said, I'm not making the Neder because they're bad. The Gemara answers, Chadab Ayit Kama. Chadab Neshein and Ra'am. We don't have the word Chadab, the Rush does. One and another reason. Not bad. My time of the Chodim Mutzer Behem. The Ayit Neshein Yafim. It happens to be good. So the Mishnah just told you the facts.
Should I tell Ray Bruder that Steve Snowden?
I don't know, we have 20, to be now exact, we have 25 left.
We have 20 minutes also.
No, we're not. Dr. Mishnah.
Rabbi, can I ask a quick question? So the rule here is that if you state your reason, and your reason is wrong, factually, objectively, you have
a Pesach. You don't even need a Pesach pastas.
It's not a
We had a question before where the guy said, I'm not marrying this lady because her father is bad. And then we found out her father wasn't bad. It's a mistake. So that's a neder toss. It's a mistake. You clearly stated that her father is bad. You know, it was built on an assumption. You're right.
So if you're foolish enough to make a netter, it's best to just state your reason out loud.
Exactly. Because then if the reason is wrong, it only helps if the reason is wrong. Doesn't help.
Right.
Look at the Mishnah Vayitzim. Paiskum adam b'kvayt atzmai or b'kvayt banav. They use a Pesach in his own honor. And the Gemara will explain. Amrim lo, and in the honor of his children. Amrim lo. He's decided he's going to divorce his wife. He made a neder that forces him to divorce his wife. Imrimbay. Ilu Yisil Adaya. Shulamachar Imrim Alecha. That tomorrow in Shul, I hate to say in Shul because people shouldn't be talking in Shul. Tomorrow at the water coolers, today I don't think they have water coolers anymore. You're being bottled water. But once upon a time, they had water coolers. In Europe, they had mikvahs. Wherever people discuss things. Imrim Alecha. They would say, this is the way he acts. He divorces his wives. He has no respect for the institution of marriage. Megarish is nashav. That's what they'll say about you. That's quite atzmai. Are you worried? Did you ever think about what it'll do to your reputation? What your reputation will be? Or, on your daughters, it could be on your sons too, but in daughters it hurts more. Benoiz Grusha saying, they're daughters of Grushas. Why is it their fault? Ma rasa imam she'edul izgarish. Why is their mother getting divorced? What did she do wrong? And of course, when the mother did something wrong, people don't want to marry the daughters. Why should I marry the daughter of this lady that must have done something wrong if her husband divorced her? That's what some people say. And some people say that guy doesn't understand the institution of marriage. Either way, somebody is going to be talked about. Did you think about that?
What are the daughters? They're learning from the mother? What?
Because when you do a shidduch, you check the parents, don't you? Why are you checking the parents?
So it trickles down to the
children. No, again, either it does or it doesn't. But when you did shidduchim, didn't you want to know who the parents were?
Of course.
Why did you want to know why the parents were? Who cares? Because that's how people are. For whatever reason, that's how people are. You want to know who the parents were. Are they decent people? They're not decent people. Are they going to end up in jail one day? You'd have to know. You want to know what you're marrying into. Again, I'm not arguing the fact. I'm saying a reality, and you're telling me whether the reality makes sense.
No, I'm speaking of someone who's gotten shit of questions, which are by and large universally idiotic.
Okay, again, we'll go back to this again. You're telling me what you would like the world to look like, and I'm telling you what happens. That's all I'm saying.
Son of divorced parents who's married to the daughter of divorced parents who's married 50 years ago.
And my father said, Mazel Tov, I want to see where the party is. 50th anniversary party. Right.
Rabbi?
Yes. Yes, Harvey.
I'm sorry. We've probably had this before, and I've just forgotten. We have now something. Did you think about this? Did you contemplate that?
Right.
The last Gemara we had, did you think about something that might be more obvious? Did you think about that you would have to fast on the Shabbos or a Yom Kippur? Is there no basic knowledge attributable to someone that they wouldn't get a Pesach? Like if I made a netter saying I won't leave my home without coins in my pocket every day for 3 weeks, what kind of Jew would not know that they couldn't carry this on Shabbos or Yom Tov?
You're asking a very good question. All we need for a Pesach is an honest answer. If the guy claims he didn't think about it, we don't ever accuse a guy of lying unless it's audacious to say that you wouldn't have done it. The only time we think a person will lie to us is because he's embarrassed to say that he didn't think of it. Now, I think in your case of coins in your pocket, and there's no Eruv, or it's Muktzah, I think anybody would be embarrassed to say, I didn't think that on Shabbos I can't carry. I think so. But maybe not thinking about eating meat on Shabbos, or not thinking about the consequences of having to fast, the Mishnah is saying, maybe that person didn't think of. Again, I agree with you that today I can't imagine a person not thinking about it, but then again, if it's something that a person is not embarrassed to say, I didn't think of it, we believe him. As far out as it is,
I mean,
unless it's something that he wouldn't be so embarrassed to say he didn't think about it, that we say he's lying.
So some people will have they'll have shame, and they just won't be able to say that they didn't believe in gravity or whatever it is that they're claiming that they weren't aware of.
Right. So that if they don't lie, and once the person we assume people would lie about it, then it can't be a Pesach. That was quite a Malcolm. Did you care about the honor of Hashem? No person would answer no, even if it was no. And therefore, we can't use it.
Okay. All right.
Zuck the Gemara Vayter. So, my Rasimun Shem Luz Garish. So, Amra Ilu Ayisi Yedei Shekei La Yisi Neider, Harizem Mutter. Okay. Now we get into another group of things. Zuck the Gemara, let's do the rush. Paisal Adam Kaidatsu Kaibanam Kaidim Dato the Garish is his type. My Ross Eman is garish. Im loy shemata b'arav is davar. Because people go right away and they say, she must have done something inappropriate. Now, how inappropriate? I don't know. Doesn't have to be very inappropriate. Enough that her husband said, I can't stay married to her. Nimtza shepaygim is banav. Kids come under the microscope. B'lechashina shemi yishakar. Ki yabay shleimer shei nechayish is b'kwayt banav. And the chiddush here is, people will be honest. They'll say, I forgot about my kids. You're right. They will not say, how can a person say, I didn't care about my kids? I didn't think about my kids. We say, there are people that don't think about their kids. That's what the Mishnah is telling us, that this is something people would not lie about. Now remember, let's just put this in perspective, because this is very important. We're talking about a guy that's coming to remove his netter. That means he obviously cares about the dark. But if he didn't care about things, he wouldn't have to remove his netter. He'd just violate it. The answer is he's a frum person. He doesn't want to violate a netter. He realizes that he has to have the rabbis be moderate, and he realizes it's a process. And the process is to find a reason of why he shouldn't have, if he wouldn't have thought about it, he wouldn't have made it. Now, if he's going to lie, right, then, like, you don't care? It means you think you fooled the Rabbi Shlomo? You can't fool the Rabbi Shlomo. You know, that's a good old rule. The Rabbi Shlomo knows whether you're lying or not. The answer is, we sit there on a bezin, and we make a decision based on what you tell us. We trust you. Listen, you're coming to be matzah neder. If you're lying about it, then you're stumped fooling yourself. You're not fooling God, and you're not fooling Bezin, because Bezin doesn't care. The only one you're fooling, you think, is the Rabbi Shlomo, but you're not. So obviously you're from Yid, and you want to remove it legally. So you want to get a lie, you wouldn't lie. However, there's such things that are so removed that we can't imagine a person being honest. So we can't use those things, which we're really setting you up for failure. That's what it's saying. He could say he's mischarit, but charata has to be, I'm sorry I ever made it. Not everybody is sorry they ever made it. Sometimes you have to find them a reason why they have charata, why they ever made it. That's not charata miyikara. If a guy comes and says, I was happy I made it, it was good for a year, now I changed my mind. That's not charata. Notice in the Nusach of Ataras Nadara, Bekulo Nisharat Nemahim Yikara. Vani Mischaret Ashloy Marz if you double blabri nada bichu. Yes.
The construction of the mission is rather interesting in that the Gnai about the father being someone who divorces his wife is on him himself. Gnai on the daughters comes from the relationship to the mother.
Right.
Rashi talks about
right.
Rivka, the relationship from the daughter to the mother.
Correct.
But children, unless they're the children, doctors who are never home, children learn their midas from both the mother and
it's very
mother.
Interesting that you say that. So notice that the Mishnah answered your question. I would have answered it one way, but the Mishnah answered it the other way, which is right. The first thing we worry about is the guy's own honor. As much as he cares about his children, he cares about himself. I know parents give themselves up for their children. I know all the drushes. Bottom line is people are worried about their own honor. Their children will take care of themselves when they get older. That's different. By the daughters, there's no busha. He doesn't care about his wife busha. He's getting rid of her. So if you tell me your wife's going to be embarrassed, who cares? That's exactly why I'm divorcing her. I don't want to let her be embarrassed. But you do care about your daughters. Now, your sons are not attributed to your wife's indiscretions. People say the daughter's indiscretions, you know, that the daughter takes from her mother, much more so than she does from her father. Well, again, but the Rush said, Barmav, the Rush didn't stress daughters. The Rush said, Venim, I didn't point that out. I should have. The Rush said, "Benimta shepaygim as bamav." Doesn't say just his daughters. The Mishnah says daughters. The Rush says all his kids. Why he does that, I don't know. Whether he had that girsa, I don't know. Yeah, both sons have to do shidduchim too. You know what I mean?
But he's not
metapolis.
Both boys.
Right.
That
could be.
The way that you're explaining does explain the father, just as the mother taking.
Not the Midas.
But
it's not Midas here.
They're Karbanos.
No, it's not Midas here. It's indiscreet. It's behaving not sneistic. If mom is not sneistic, what? No, it's not a Midas. That's not a Midas. That's not a character trait. No.
Okay.
It's not Gaiva, it's not Taiva, it's not Covet, it's not those things. It is a act. And my children follow the way their mother dresses. So if the mother didn't dress well enough, and husband thought it was good enough reason to divorce her, I have to look at daughter to see did she pick up that thing. The son is not going to dress not sneistic because his mother didn't wear sneistic clothing. It doesn't affect him. Those womanly indiscretions don't affect, dvar erev of a woman don't affect the son as much as affects the daughter. That's, I think, a fact, but they're not getting involved in that. Now, I'd like to finish the mission.
I've been finding
these things correctly.
Thank you.
Let's just finish this mission if we can, so we can learn our 25 bucks. Kainim shani nicest whiteness, kura. I don't want to marry that ugly woman. Barina, not true. She's beautiful. Shchaira, we went through this already. She's dark complexion, which in those days indicated lack of health. Barina Levana, she looks bright and healthy. Ksara, I don't want to marry that midget. She's not really a midget, but he's short. Barina Arucha, she's tall. Mutraba, Laimim Ne Shakura Vanasana. She didn't turn nice. Shaira Vanasa Levana. Shaira Vanasa Sarucha. And she never taught. The netter's a mistake. Dr. Rush? No, Rush. No, Rush. Yes. El Shaneder tossed me car. Rush, but I met her. I saw Levana. She wasn't dark. She wasn't short. Now, Rabbi Shmuel argues, and the Gemara is going to point out that the Mishnah doesn't say that. But in truth, Rabbi Shmuel argues. And he says, inherently, basically he says, every Jewish woman is beautiful. Just have to find it. And therefore, not marrying an ugly girl, there's no ugly Jewish girl. Maisa. I think we should give the Mishnah, they have to give the Mishnah a chance. We must give the Mishnah a chance. What? That's a different halacha. He made a netter based on a fact. Let's see the Gemara. The story will tell Maisa. There was a story. He made a netter not to give his daughter pleasure, or he won't have. Basically, so he wouldn't be able to marry his niece is bas hakoytzeh, which is a mitzvah to marry your niece. V'chnisu lebeisha b'shmol, she was ugly. They brought her into the house of Rabbi Shmuel. Beautiful, he made her look beautiful. He took care of her. He got her what she needed. The Gemara is going to say what exactly he did. Amr le Rabbi Shmuel, b'ni mizuna darta. He brings her in front of the guy. He said, "Is this the lady you called ugly?" Amr le lav. No, this is not the same woman I knew before last week or 5 months ago. Mitaru Rabbi Shmuel, and he was mad at her because it was a mistake. Hashem Shah, we'll see in the red. This is then we'll talk about that more tomorrow, but let's move on. Ba'isisham Bacher Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel cried. V'yama b'nais Yisrael na'aseh. Jewish girls are beautiful. El she'anias menavlasam. Poverty makes them look ugly. Every Jewish girl is inherently a beautiful woman. Just have to get it out of them, because unfortunately, they can't afford what it takes to make themselves look beautiful. They carried lamentations. It means, I guess, I don't know, arts go translate, nice size?
Raised
lamentations. The Haim Reis, they said, the same plastic that was said by Saul HaMelech, who took care of Jewish girls and women. We are lamenting the dead of Rabbi Shmuel. He took care of us. It came from Navi, where it said that the girls mourned Shaul HaMelech, who took care of them. We had Rabbi Shmuel do for us what Shaul did. And he died. We lost our protector. We lost our person that took care of our beauty, made us look beautiful. That's the Mishnah. Mitzvah said we will continue tomorrow.